Greetings in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to begin by asking all of us, those of you who love history, a question. Who said, "I shall return"? Who made this promise to the Filipino people? Can you guess? General Douglas MacArthur. He made that promise in 1942. He was reluctant to leave the Philippines, especially Corregidor. Why? There were around 80,000 soldiers, Americans and Filipinos, who were together with him in that island. And for him to leave them is not what a good general will do. But he had no choice. His superior ordered him vacate, and reluctantly, he had no choice. Why did General MacArthur promise, "I shall return"? He promised, "I shall return" to boost the morale of the people, to encourage them to keep fighting, because he does not want them to surrender. When he came back in 1944, October 20, he landed in Leyte, and he said, "I have returned." Then he also said the following, "I'm sorry, I was a bit late." Why did he say, "I'm sorry"? Because by the time he arrived, one-third of his men had died. I don't know if you are aware of the Bataan Death March. Filipinos and Americans, many died. Jesus made a similar promise. Jesus said, "I shall return." The only difference is this: Jesus will never be too late. His timing will be perfect. When Jesus comes back, he will reign, and God's people will reign with him. When Jesus returns, there will be complete victory, and God's people will triumph. Evil will be vanquished. Today is the conclusion of our series, End Game. Are you ready for the best day of your life? What do we mean, best day of your life? If I were to ask you the question, what is the best day of your life? What will you say? Sometimes, the very best day of your life on earth that you think is the best may not always be the best. Why? Because everything in this life, the quality of joy, the quality of happiness, is nothing compared to what God has prepared for us. The main idea is this: Jesus is coming again. Are you ready for the best day of your life? What do we mean by the best day of your life? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, six verses, I want to highlight the following. Number one, the return. The best day of your life will happen when Jesus returns. The best day of your life will happen when the rapture happens. The best day of your life will happen when you experience God's reward. And this is all contained in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Notice, Paul writes the following: "We do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope." He begins by saying, you know what? I do not want you to be uninformed. In other words, the knowledge of truth is crucial. What you think, what you believe, what you know will impact your emotions. The people were grieving, "so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope." What do we mean by the word grieve? The word grieve comes from this word, lipe. Lipe means deep grief. It's a mental, emotional distress caused by loss or regret. Many times, the worst kind of grief is the death of a loved one. And the Thessalonians are experiencing the death of their loved ones. They were mourning. They were lamenting. Perhaps some of you are experiencing grief. There are many reasons why we grieve. I do not know your particular reason. For many, you are disappointed with life. Perhaps you are disappointed with what's happening, or you have lost loved ones. It is not wrong to grieve. It is not wrong to be sad. But how do you process grieving? My friend, God loves you so much that He wants you to be informed. Notice what the Bible is saying. We do not want you to be uninformed. Don't be ignorant about those who are asleep. He's now talking about believers who have died. The word asleep describes death. It only refers to believers in the New Testament. When believers die, he's saying asleep. So that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. You see, for people who don't have Jesus, what is the hope? After you die, it's the end. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him, with Jesus, those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. That is why the return of Jesus is so basic. It is so central, because it has to do with the reality that death is not the end. Death is not final. The early church believed that Jesus can come anytime. Not only do they believe He can come anytime, they greet one another with the word Maranatha. Maranatha means what? Literally, it means come, Lord. You see, the return of Jesus, believing in His return, expecting His return, and welcoming His return will impact your value system. It will impact the way you think. It will help you process disappointments in life. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, let me read for you. What was their mindset? How you turn to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. Do you notice the early believers? It is their focus on the return of Jesus. And that is what motivated them to serve Him. How you turn from idols to serve a living and true God. You see, if you are conscious that Jesus will come anytime, what will happen? You will want to serve Him. Not only will you want to serve Him, notice the motivation. To wait. Grammatically, it is the present tense. They kept waiting as if Jesus can come anytime. Always waiting for His Son from heaven. To wait for the coming of Jesus has a sanctifying effect in your life. It will help you live a life that is set apart to serve God. It has a strengthening effect in your life. It will strengthen you to want to serve Him. Are you ready for the best day of your life? The return of Jesus. But can I tell you something? The truth is, some of us do not want Jesus to return. I remember this pastor from the States. He told me, Peter, can I be honest with you? I still don't want Jesus to return. I said, why? He said, I'm enjoying my life. And you know what hit me? I realized there are many of us who are probably like this pastor, enjoying our earthly life now. Do you know what is the antidote? This is the antidote. Nothing wrong to learn to enjoy what God has blessed you with. Just remember, if you are enjoying life now, heaven, what Jesus promised, is something even better. In other words, I praise God, I enjoy my family, I enjoy the material blessings, but I'm careful I don't fall in love with this world. I hold things loosely. You know why I hold things loosely? My family, possessions, everything, because I know when Jesus comes, He has something better. And that's why you need to know the Bible truth and to realize what the Bible says, what eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, has God prepared for those who love Him. Psalm 16 talks about, you will not abandon my soul to rot. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Do you notice the psalmist is making an amazing statement that his body will not be left just to rot forever, but there's going to be an encounter. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your presence is fullness of pleasure forevermore. So my friend, praise God you're enjoying life on earth. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your blessing. But don't fall in love, because what God has in store is much better. Be ready for the best day of your life. Guard your heart. I don't know if you remember the story of Fanny Crosby. She became blind when she was only 6 weeks old. Careless mistake of a health caregiver. But do you know how she processed her blindness? Because she met Jesus while she was blind. At 8 years old, she said the following, "Oh, what a happy child I am. Although I cannot see, I am resolved in this world, contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy the other people don't. To weep and sigh because I am blind, I cannot and I won't." You see, Fanny Crosby understood that life is not just about life on earth. She had this amazing heavenly perspective. She knew that one day she will see Jesus. And that's why when she was almost 90 years old, somebody approached her and said, "If only you were born later, science could have caught up and operated on you and perhaps help you see." And you know what she said? She said, "Don't feel sorry for me, because the first face I'm going to see someday will be the face of Jesus." My friend, that is what I call perspective. How is your perspective? Are you aware that Jesus is coming again? And the return of Jesus is going to transform everything. The best day of your life is when Jesus returns. The next word I'd like you to focus on is rapture. What do we mean by rapture? "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord." He is now stating authoritatively, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." You know what he's saying? When Jesus comes again, the following will happen. There will be a shout. And who will do the shouting? The voice of the archangel. The Bible identifies in the book of Jude the archangel. He is called Michael. That's the only angel with the name Michael. You have another angel with the name Gabriel. But the archangel is called Michael. What happens? With a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, then there will be trumpet. And then what will happen? The dead in Christ will rise first. Notice the sequence. When Jesus comes, resurrection first. And then what happens? Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up. That's where you have the word rapture. Together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now, Paul was expecting Jesus to return in his lifetime. And he's saying, when Jesus comes again, the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain will be caught up. That word caught up is translated as rapture in Latin. In Greek, it's harpazo. In English, it is called caught up. Together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Who is this them? The believers who were resurrected, and we who are alive will be caught up. That's where you have the word rapture. Paul explained this in another passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me read for you. I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep. We will all be changed. Notice, all of us will be changed. Now look at the sequence. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, faster than a second, at the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, the resurrection. And we, those who are still alive, will be changed. That's the rapture. And what happens? This perishable must put on imperishable. And this mortal must put on immortality. Why is it the best day of your life? When the rapture happens, you know why? You will be caught up together. You'll be given a supernatural body. And you'll meet the Lord. The issue many times people ask me, when will the rapture take place? Is it during the tribulation? Is it before the tribulation? Is it after the tribulation? Now, I'm going to teach you theology. When it comes to certain issues in the Bible, it is not essential, meaning it is not worth dying for. One of those issues is rapture. What is sure is the second coming of Jesus. What is sure is the idea of rapture. We will be caught up. But it is not essential to debate to death when the rapture will take place. This is the timeline. Jesus died and rose again from the dead. And then he tells us, before he comes, there will be signs, wars, earthquakes, famines, plagues. Look at the nation of Israel. And then you have tribulation. When will the rapture take place? Many sincere Bible scholars have the following positions. Three possible positions. And they're all sincere. The first one is pre-trib, before tribulation. Another position, mid-trib, in the middle of tribulation. Another position, post-trib. I just want to warn you, don't be dogmatic. But let me share with you from a biblical perspective what happens so that you will know and you have a basis. At the end of tribulation, the Bible tells us there will be a resurrection of the saints. There will be a 1,000-year reign. That's in the book of Revelation. And then there will be a judgment day. So when will the rapture take place? For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So the sequence, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So the rapture takes place after the resurrection. The book of Revelation tells us when is the resurrection. At the end of the tribulation period, in Revelation 20, the Bible tells us, I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God. In short, are these believers or not? Yes, they are believers. They were beheaded because of their testimony about Jesus and because of the word of God. And what else can you learn about these believers? And those who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their forehead or on their hand. Now, it's uncanny. When they mention the mark of the beast on the forehead and on the hand, I am surprised. Today, technology has now made it possible to have a microchip on your hand. And this microchip will identify you. It will allow you to buy and sell. Is it because we are now living in the end times? Notice Revelation 20 verse 4. The Bible tells us, they came to life and reigned with Christ. Revelation 20 verse 5 and 6. I want you to notice something. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were completed. In other words, the rest of the people were not part of the resurrection. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Over those, the second death has no power. But they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with Jesus for 1,000 years. So the Bible talks about there's going to be the first resurrection. Who are those in the first resurrection? Believers. And then the Bible talks about there will be another resurrection after the 1,000 years. What do I mean? Let's read. Revelation 20, verses 11 and 12. I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. Notice the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged. Notice every one of them according to their deeds. What does it mean that death and Hades gave up the dead? That, my friend, is the second resurrection, when they are brought before the judgment seat of God, the great white throne. And then the Bible tells us death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. What do you notice? This is the second death, the lake of fire. So the Bible talks about two kinds of death. Physical death, that's the first death, and spiritual death, eternally separated from God. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So who are the people who will go into the lake of fire? People whose names are not written in the book of life. Why? Because people whose names are written in the book of life are believers. They've been forgiven. And their names are recorded in the book of life. They are not judged based on what? Notice, the other people are judged based on their deeds. And the Bible says we are all sinners. In John 5, verse 24, the Bible tells us, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word, believes him who sent me, has eternal life, and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death to life." Do you notice? Does not come to judgment, but has passed from death to life. Many people don't understand what it means, death. The Bible talks about two kinds of death. Death literally means separation. It is not cessation. It is not annihilation. Death simply means separation. When you die physically, physical death, the body is separated from the spirit. When you go to a funeral parlor, you look at the body, you will notice the spirit is not there. Physical death means what? Your spirit, your soul, is separated from the body. That's why the Bible says, "We are of good courage, I say, prefer rather to be absent from the body." He's talking about physical death, to be at home with the Lord. The Bible is very clear. Absent from the body, you are present with the Lord. What happens to the physical body? Asleep. Soul, spirit, in God's presence. Spiritual death means what? Spirit is eternally separated from God. And that is the second death. The Bible talks about the second death is when you are eternally, soul and body and spirit, eternally separated from God. And my friend, the rapture will be the best day of anybody's life if you are in Christ. Because you have a new body and you are brought into the presence of God. But it's going to be the worst day of your life if you are not ready. Why? Because on that day, the Bible tells us, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Are you ready for the best day of your life? The best day of your life, his return, rapture, and reward. What do we mean by reward? The Bible tells us, we who are alive and remain will be caught up together, underline that word together, with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. You will meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Do you notice the grammar? Forever. You will always be in the presence of the Lord. And he tells us, therefore, comfort one another with these words. How do we encourage people? Remind them that the best day of their life is going to happen when Jesus returns. Revelation 22 verse 12 tells us, "Look, I'm coming soon." Notice that expression, "I am coming soon." Why is Jesus repeating this amazing promise, "I'm coming soon"? To encourage us, to strengthen us, not to give up. "My reward is with me. I will give to each person according to what they have done." You see, God knows how to motivate us. We are to be motivated by love. That's good. But he's saying, "I also want to reward you." And therefore, he talks about rewards. And here are examples of rewards that Jesus promised us. Example. The Bible talks about five different crowns. Imperishable crown. How do you get this crown? If you live a holy life, if you live a disciplined life. For example, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, 27. The second crown is called the crown of exaltation. It's given to soul winners. If you evangelize, you bring people to Jesus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 19, 20. the third crown is called the crown of righteousness. It's because you love the Lord's appearing. You long for His return. This is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. The crown of life. You persevere in the midst of suffering. You are faithful to the end. Why? Because you love the Lord. That is James chapter 1, verse 12. Example, Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. And you have the crown of glory. Now, this is a special crown given to pastors, elders, and believe it or not, in our CCF structure, it's given to D group leaders. Why? A D group leader is a shepherd of a group of people. It's like a house church. And this is found in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. So I want to encourage all of you that our Master, our Lord, promised to reward us. Let me give you an example of what we meant by rewards. I want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24-27. Let me read. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Look at the metaphor. The Christian life is compared to a marathon, to a race. And then here's the command. Run in such a way that you may win. It's present tense. You run in such a way. Don't be careless that you may win. How do you win? Look at the next verse. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. What he's saying is this. In the time of the Apostle Paul, those who are running in the game at Corinth, if you win, they give you a wreath. It's made of flowers. In a few days' time, it will wilt. It's nothing. He's saying, these are perishable. And yet they work so hard for that kind of crown. 26, therefore I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. I discipline my body, make it my slave, so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified. What in the world is Paul talking about? Paul is talking about, because of this reality, that one day I will stand before the Lord, I run my life in a very disciplined manner. Why? I look forward to the crown that the Lord will give me. Another example, James chapter 1, verse 12, the crown of life. Notice what it says. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Do you love the Lord? The emphasis is love the Lord. Then you will be faithful to the end. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, not only to me, notice, to all who have loved His appearing. What do you notice? This crown is given to people who love the Lord, who long for His appearing. Let me ask you a question. If God is going to reward His people with all kinds of crown, with all kinds of rewards, and they are not exhaustive, how should that impact your life? Recently, the Philippines won its first gold medal. This is in the history of Philippine Olympic. It's won by none other than Heidelin Diaz. She won the 55-kilogram category. She lifted 127 kilograms. My goodness, she can lift me because she brought honor to the Philippines. What was her reward? She was given, from various sources, almost 35 million pesos. She was given free flights. for life. She was given free food for many restaurants for life. Free fuel, house and lot, free car. I do not know if Heidelin really understood what kind of reward she will be getting. I can almost predict it was beyond her wildest imagination. If earthly rewards can be so amazing, how much more heavenly rewards? My friend, the Bible is very clear. What eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, what has not entered the mind of man, has God prepared for those who love Him. If our country will offer such amazing rewards, how much more will our Lord and Savior reward His faithful servant, who will bring Him honor and glory? Why do I say bring Him glory and honor? Because if you look at Revelation chapter 4, the Bible tells us, what do we do with the crown? The 24 elders will fall down before Him who sits on the throne and will worship Him who lives forever and ever. And notice, and they will cast their crowns before the throne. In other words, whatever crowns we receive, the Bible tells us, on that day, we will give it back to our Lord and Savior. We cast our crowns on Him. Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory, honor, and power. For you created all things, and because of your will, they existed and were created. In other words, we exist to glorify Him. Will you have any crowns to give back to our Lord and Savior? Have you done your best for Jesus? Remember, crowns are different. Salvation is a gift. But what we do for Jesus is another story. You'll be rewarded. What will make you faithful to the end? What will help you so that you will be faithful and receive a crown? It's all about the heart. You need to love the Lord. If you don't love the Lord, everything will become legalism. If you don't love the Lord, what will happen? What you do for Him become ritualistic. What you do for Him will become a chore. It becomes a duty. However, if you are motivated by love, and that, my friend, is the key to receiving the rewards of the Lord. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 5. Notice what the Bible says. In the last days, difficult time will come. In the last days, in the end time, men will be lovers of self, lovers of money. Do you notice the enemy of the Christian life is our love for something else? You see, whether you like it or not, we were made to love. The only question is, where are you directing your love? And the antidote is make sure you love the Lord. It talks about lovers of self, lovers of money, and byproduct, arrogance, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, notice, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, conceited, notice, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. The best way to be ready for the best day of your life is to guard your heart. What do you love most? Love God. If not, you will love something else. Christianity is all or nothing. It's either you follow Jesus 100% or you don't. Because to follow Jesus 90% is not to follow Him. And many times we deceive ourselves. We think it's okay not to love the Lord. A true Christian will understand it is not optional. He loved me, He died for me. And how should be my response? 100%. It's all or nothing. Trust God completely or you don't trust Him. love Him completely or you're not loving Him at all. And to be ready, the answer is love God. That's why it says, if anyone does not love the Lord, he is to be accursed. Maranatha. Come, Lord. Why? Because you love Him. I want to share with you the story of an amazing dog. His name is Hachiko. Hachiko is a Japanese dog. The breed is called Akita. His master was a professor of Tokyo University. This professor and his dog, Hachiko, would walk every day from his house to the train station. And he would board the train station to teach at the Tokyo University. And then at 3 p.m., he would come back. And this went on for 5 years. One day, the master did not come home because the master died while he was away from home. What happened to the dog? And this is most amazing. Every day, the dog would go back at 3 p.m. to wait for the master. This went on not just for 1 week, not just for 1 month, not just for 1 year. This went on every day for 10 years. People were amazed. When the dog died, what did they do?
To commemorate the faithfulness of the dog, the Japanese government, the Japanese people made a statue and they placed it at the train station. In fact, it is one of the most iconic, most popular spot for meeting people, right underneath that statue.
Friends, if a dog can show such devotion to an earthly master, how much more should we show our devotion to our master, our Lord and Savior? That devotion can only happen if you love the Lord. Are you ready for the best day of your life? And how do you do it? Daily. When I wake up in the morning, I talk to Jesus. I say, Lord, if this is the last day of my life, I don't want to mess it up. I want to live a life pleasing to you. And once you do that day by day, it will become week by week. And once you do it week by week, it will become month by month. And before you know it, it will be 1 year, 2 years. And at the end of your life, you will hear Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant. My prayer is not only will you be ready, but you help your loved ones be ready. Because at the end of your life, there are only two possibilities. You are ready or you are not ready. Only two possibilities. You will experience the best day of your life or you will experience the worst regret of your life. But if you live for Him, if you long for His coming, you will never regret it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to be ready when you come again. I want to be ready for the best day of my life. Today, I surrender my life to you. I come to you as my Lord and my Savior. I will stop playing games. I will take you seriously. Help me to love you with all my heart. Help me to trust you with all my heart. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for the grace that you have given me. I now commit to you my life. I accept your gift of forgiveness. I accept your gift of eternal life. And thank you for giving me the strength to live a life that's pleasing to you. Day by day, Lord, I want to live for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If this message has been meaningful to you, we will be happy to chat with you. Kindly click on the space provided below. Before we close, I'd like you to hear this special song. And may God speak to you as you listen to this song.
Are you ready? The sun will be darkened, the moon will not shine, the heavens will shake, stars fall from the sky. Are you ready? Be ready. No one knows the day or the hour when Christ will come, returning in power. His angels surround, what a marvelous sight. Are you ready to meet Jesus? The King of Kings will sit on his throne, judging the nations, calling his own. Are you ready? Be ready. Comes back, we'll bow on our knees. Are we loving? Are we serving? And now is the time to ponder our days, repenting from sins, correcting our ways. Are we ready? Let's be ready.
Family, welcome to another edition of CCF Sunday Fast Track. We're here with our senior pastor who gave the message, the last message for our series Endgame, Pastor Peter Tanchi. And we will ask him some questions. Pastor, many people are fixated on what the end times will actually be like. Pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib. How important are these things? And how should I know what to believe so that I know how to prepare for the end?
If you continue reading 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the next part is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You know what Paul said? Regarding He's coming. He simply said, what is important is he's coming soon. He will come like a thief. The same thing with Jesus. Jesus said, what is important is he's coming anytime. So to me, the heart of God is be ready. That is the bottom line. Satan wants us to debate, focus on this, focus on that. But the point is, be ready. He can come anytime.
Thank you for that reminder, Pastor Peter. The second question is this. The Bible talks about different crowns that we will receive in heaven based on how we lived our life on earth. The question is this. Does that mean some people will enjoy heaven more than the others?
As somebody once said, all of us, our cup will be full. But some people will go to heaven with a small cup. Some people go to heaven with a big cup because of the depth, the relationship with the Lord. That's one theory. Another theory is, that is why Jesus said he will wipe away our tears. Because there may be some Christians crying. Another theory. Because of being in the presence of God, yes, compared to others, you have less. But no matter what, because of being with Jesus, everything is more than enough. Whatever it is, my philosophy is this. I do not want to give God leftover. I do not want to say at the end of my life, I did not do my best. What I want at the end of my life, I can honestly say, Lord, I've done my best for you. And that to me is how you prepare.
Wonderful wake-up call. How can we share the truth of Christ's return to non-believers without sounding like a bunch of conspiracy theorists? You know, they might listen to us when we talk about the end times and they will think we're just making all these things up and we're trying to be conspiracy theorists.
That's why my suggestion is learn to share the gospel. There are many ways to share the gospel, but many times you start with relationship. And then you be sensitive to what's bothering them. Why do you want to approach immediately with the second coming? With all of this pre-trib, mid-trib, you might confuse them. So my suggestion is start with relationship. Be sensitive. Pray for them. And then the Lord will give you opportunity to open up how to speak to them from the heart. Remember, if you love them, they will listen. If they don't listen, you still love them. Sometimes it's all about timing. They're not ready. I have so many friends. I never thought they'll become Christians. I never thought they'll follow Jesus. But you know what? 10 years later, I'm shocked and surprised. I see them in CCF. In my mind, what happened? God's timing.
Thank you for that reminder. Pastor Peter, last question. There is a song or a statement that said, every new beginning comes from another beginning's end. And we have just ended the series Endgame. What can we look forward to in the coming Sunday?
In the coming Sunday, we will begin a new series. It has to do with how do you overcome self-centeredness, the root problem of many of us. And the title is Surprise! I'll see you next week.
We look forward to that, Pastor Peter, and we're so excited to listen to another lesson coming from our senior pastor, Dr. Peter Tanchi. Have a blessed Sunday, everyone.
Here are some discussion questions that I hope you can discuss with your family members, with your small groups, with your friends. Question number one, how do I prepare so I'll be ready for the best day of my life? Give some practical suggestions. How should the reality of Christ's return, rapture, and the reward impact your life, impact my life? How can you share this truth to others? Have an amazing, blessed time discussing with your friends and family members.
Thanks for watching. We would like to invite you to be a Christ-committed follower by being part of the movement as we honor God and obey His great commission. To find out if there's a CCF satellite near you, log on to www.ccf.org.ph/satellites. We also want to encourage you to join a small discipleship group where you can deepen your knowledge and love for Jesus and others. To sign up, log on to www.ccf.org.ph/discipleship group. All of CCF's video resources are available free of charge and are constantly being improved by our team. Would you consider supporting CCF through prayer and giving so more people can be blessed? You can give securely through our website at www.ccf.org.ph/give. For more videos like this, please subscribe to our channel. Thanks, and God bless.